This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible, the prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord, blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come, exposing apostasy and the developing one-world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Well, how about that Dishonest Reporting Award? I have a detailed report now, more information, more documentation, and covering even other media outlets and their efforts to criticize and cast a untrue picture of the nation of Israel. Evidently, Honest Reporting, a news gathering company that monitors the news around the world, especially regarding the Middle East, has sent out a nomination on whether the news media outlets were telling the truth and who they voted for as qualifying as dishonest reporting. Regarding CBC, Canadian members nominated correspondent Neil MacDonald of the CBC for trying to disprove comments made by Hezbollah Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah, in which he promised to export martyrdom operations worldwide. The comments reported by journalist Paul Martin sparked a Canadian ban on Hezbollah. MacDonald suggested that Martin fabricated the comments, prompting Martin to file a defamation suit against CBC. Also, CBC devoted 3 days to intensive broadcasting on the Middle East, presenting documentaries rehashing the 1982 Sabra Shatili massacre under the title The Accused, glorifying Arafat under the title Arafat, the Struggle for Palestine, a personal profile of a suicide bomber, which they called suicide as a weapon, and showing aggressive Israeli military actions against Palestinians, which they called the ugly war, Israel undercover. The films were accompanied by the Counterspin talk show that gave form to anti-Israel voices. Regarding CNN, Honest Reporting members have taken CNN to task for originally giving more airtime to the family of a suicide bomber than to the Israeli victim's family. Resentment built up more after head honcho Ted Turner equated Israeli security measures with Palestinian terror. Israeli satellite TV companies nearly dropped the network in favor of Fox News, and CNN instituted some sweeping editorial changes. The New York Times had cited Honest Reporting for its role in affecting policy, and the Jerusalem Post reported that HonestReporting.com readers sent up to 6,000 emails a day to CNN executives, effectively paralyzing their internal email system. Now regarding MSNBC, MSNBC, Dan Fisher wrote that reporters and producers have been instructed not to use the term terrorism in news reports on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict except in direct quotations. When Honest Reporting criticized this bizarre policy, MSNBC columnist Michael Moran wrote that Honest Reporting is aimed at muzzling free speech, and that Honest Reporting has urged its subscribers to vent their collective spleen by pelting the accused with angry emails demanding that we fall into line or else. Calling for journalistic accountability is hardly equated with muzzling free speech. And surely the vast majority of Honest Reporting members have not vented spleens. MSNBC.com also featured a web blog by Eric Altman, who called the arch-terrorist Mawlan Barghouti the very definition of a freedom fighter, and said that Ariel Sharon is like Hamas and is leading the horrifying spiral of death. Regarding NPR, most NPR nominations singled out for censor the Middle East, A Century in Conflict, a seven-part historical series by Mike Schuster. That broadcast whitewashed the history of Arab violence and extremism while attempting to paint Israel as a colonial power. Regarding John Pilger, 4 weeks outraged poured in from UK, Australia, and South African over Pilger's documentary, Palestine is Still the Issue. In the UK, the documentary aired immediately after Yom Kippur. Even Michael Green, chairman of Carlson Television, which produced the documentary, called Pilger's show factually incorrect, historically incorrect, and a tragedy for Israel so far as accuracy is concerned. Brutus was also nominated for this dishonest reporting. Brutus reported on the deportation of 2 Palestinians to the Gaza Strip, saying that they were dumped to fend for themselves. Brutus made no mention of the fact that Israel arranged a family reunion prior to the deportation and gave them food and bottled water, plus a 1,000 shekels each for relocation assistance, and that they spent the night comfortably at a Red Cross facility in Gaza, a far cry from, quote, dumped to fend for themselves, unquote. Gerardo Rivera, covering Operation Defensive Wall, Gerardo Rivera told Fox viewers, when you use tanks and F-16s and these sledgehammers against thickly populated civilian towns and cities, that's not fighting terrorism. That is inflicting terrorism, he said. He said, I have been a Zionist my entire life. I would die for Israel. But watching the suffering of the Palestinian people, I'm also becoming a Palestinianist. Rivera said he received 18,000 emails in response to his comment. Last time in part one of this dishonest reporting 2002 awards that were given out, I mentioned that the ultimate award winner was the British media. Now, I'm going to give you some details that they listed. Here are a few examples of how the British media reported on Jenin. We are taking here, we are talking here, rather, of massacre and a cover-up of genocide. Quoted in the London Evening Standard. Rarely in more than a decade of war, reporting from Bosnia, Kosovo, I have seen such deliberate destruction, such disrespect for human life, the Times of London. Israel's actions in Jenin were every bit as repellent as Osama bin Laden's attack in New York on September the 11th, The Guardian. Hundreds of victims were buried by a bulldozer in mass grave, so reported in the British Daily Telegraph. Why the overzealous reaction based on spurious evidence? Alon Ben David, a veteran military correspondent for the Israeli Broadcasting Authority and currently at Harvard, told UPI, a large part of the European media regards itself as not just reporters, but as ideological crusaders. They are in the business of journalism, not just for the business. They want to do good in the world. They have agendas. Looking back, the alarmist Jenin coverage has impacted the Middle East conflict in three key respects. Number one, Palestinian mythology. By allowing unfounded rumors to be reported as factual, the media has helped create a false Palestinian mythology over the Battle of Jenin. That is, the few fought the many and bravely chose to die in battle rather than surrender. Just as plenty of people are willing to believe that the Israeli Mossad was somehow behind September the 11th, plenty are willing to believe that the IDF got away with murder in Jenin, too. This slipshod coverage has fueled to the fire of those who falsely accused the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, of using excessive force. In reality, by using ground troops instead of an aerial assault, as the United States does, IDF troops put themselves in danger in order to spare Palestinian casualties and lost 23 soldiers in Jenin. Since these myths are not part of Palestinian lore, true reconciliation between Israelis and Palestinians becomes more difficult. Palestinians will resurrect and spiritually compare Jenin to Sabra and Shatili, where Christian phalangists indeed massacred hundreds of Palestinian refugees, proving how poor media coverage of can further widen the Israeli-Palestinian gulf. And may I add, so-called Christian phalangists, because true Bible-believing Christians would have never done that. Number two, residual references. Even as allegations of the massacre were proven false, some of the media can't seem to let it go. Peter Cave of Australia's ABC insisted. He said, quote, I personally saw 30 Palestinian corpses at the hospital and with dozens of other foreign reporters, watched them being buried at a mass grave just up the road from the hospital. Just as the Chinese did their diabolical deeds at Tiananmen Square. The power of the gun and the tank ensured there was no proper body count or accounting, just as happened in the square. The uninformed and those with their own agenda are now claiming there was no massacre. There was a massacre. A considerable number of human beings were indiscriminately and unnecessarily slaughtered, he said. The media continues to trump up the Jenin charges in other ways. When former IDF Chief of Staff Mafaz was appointed Defense Minister, BBC reported that Mafaz directed some of Israel's most controversial operations in the West Bank earlier this year, including Jenin, where Palestinians claim a massacre took place, and Ramallah. After honest reporting complaints, BBC subsequently changed the wording to, quote, Jenin, where a Palestinian refugee camp was all but demolished, unquote. This, too, is biased wording, as fighting only took place in a 200-square-meter area, about 6% of the total area of the camp. Number three, credibility of Palestinian spokesmen. Honest reporting had encouraged the media to challenge these inaccurate claims made by Palestinian spokesmen, particularly the charges of massacres. Saeb Erekat was challenged by CNN's Bill Hemmer. You said specifically, and others said 500 in Jenin. Where are you getting evidence that shows 500 people are killed there? If Israel's numbers are right and your initial numbers are wrong, will you come back here on our network and retract what you said? Erekat said, absolutely. Well, we're still waiting. With so many Palestinian spokesmen issuing false accusations about Jenin, this calls into question the general advisability of the media relying on Palestinian claims. Palestinian spokesman Nabil Sha'af went on CNN to report that 30 Palestinian women died in labor at Israeli checkpoints. The canard joins other Palestinian claims of Israel using radioactive ammunition, Nazi tactics, and nerve gas, along with the charges that Jewish settlers tortured Palestinians, though investigations later revealed they had actually died in traffic accidents or were executed by Palestinians as collaborators. Palestinian spokesmen claimed that documents confiscated from Arafat's compound in Ramallah detailing Arafat's senior advisors' involvement in suicide bombings and terrorism were fraudulent forgeries. Abdel Rahman told CNN, quote, this is a fraud by the Israeli intelligence, sir. The Israelis have a department that specializes in putting out lies, unquote. And Nasser al-Kidwa, Palestinian representative to the UN, told CNN, quote, some kind of James Bond activities, bits and pieces of rumors and unsubstantiated claims, unquote. If Palestinian spokespeople repeatedly use the media as a platform to promote outright lies, doesn't the media have a responsibility to ban that spokesperson and to generally be wary of unquestionably swallowing Palestinian claims? I say yes, 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 yes. It may take years for the Jenin dust to settle, but one thing we have learned, the British media will not hesitate to promote a biased anti-Israel agenda, whether or not the facts are there to back it up. Now, let me say something. If you can give me a document or a news document from any of the English, British newspapers or media outlets giving honest reporting and giving even a pro-Israel or unbiased news about what's really going on there, I need to get a copy of that. Yes, I need to get a copy of that, and you can send it to me, because I wanna know if there's credible news coming out of the British government or the British newspapers. They have a history of anti-Semitic behavior. It seems to be embedded in the mentality or the psyche of the British. I'm not saying entirely, but I am saying what is coming out. And they're not the only ones to blame. I've just given you a bunch of American news outlets that have the same problem. Why is it the whole news, the majority of the news media out there is against Israel, is lying about what's going on, is partial to the Palestinians? I'll tell you why. The whole world basically is against this tiny nation, Israel, today. It's part of the satanic conspiracy against God's chosen people. All this talk about conspiracy, about the Jews having conspiracy to take over the world. You know something? That's so laughable. That is the most laughable thing I've ever heard. Look at the world. Look what they're doing against that tiny country. If anyone wants to take over the world, just look at the rest of the world. The United Nations and the one world government system that is coming together. Look at the universal voice against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then you tell me who's trying to dominate the world. Now, all of this, as crazy as it is, as far as the information I'm giving to you, if you were not a Bible believer, you would just be plumb discouraged. I mean, this would be outright discouraging. But because I know the end of the story, and I know what's going to happen, and I know that the God of heaven is going to balance the books one day, God tells us that he's going to humble these nations that are so slanted against Israel, and all these nations of the world, including the United States of America, if we're around, will be subservient to the nation of Israel. Now that is the Bible. Yeah, that's not coming out of the Protocols of Zion. It didn't originate out of there. That is a false document. That is an anti-Semitic document. That's a Jew-hating document. But the Bible says that God himself will raise Israel above all the nations of the world. Now that's God's choice and God's prerogative. Are you going to stand against God? All the nations will bow before Israel. That's what the Bible says. We could see it. We could see the stepping stones of the last days. We can see the fulfillment of prophecy coming about right before our eyes. Now, during the tribulation period, God is going to bring and allow the nations to come against Jerusalem. And then he will put his enemies, God will put his enemies and the enemies of Israel, he will put them under his feet. That is going to happen. Would you not flee to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob before it's too late? You can. The bottom line is this. When you start going against Israel, and when you start demonstrating a hatred against Israel, you are going against God himself. Now, if you want to do that, that's your prerogative. But God says, I will curse them that curseth thee. You will be under the curse of Almighty God if you choose to touch the apple of God's eye. Who is the apple of God's eye? It is the nation of Israel. That's right, God's chosen people, the Jews. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 23 says, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, In those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, "We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." Well, do not turn your dial. Stay with us for another half an hour of great broadcasting. To God be the glory. Now, news and documentation has been supplied courtesy of Zion News International. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now, we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, P-O-W-D-E-R-S-P-R-I-N-G-S, Georgia, or G-A, 30127, USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world, and we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that. But if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye.
Heaven, there is no God like thee.
This is Dr. K. Daniel Free. Thank you so very much for staying with us for the last half of the broadcast. We continue now on Dr. Ronnie Simpson's message on the red heifer. And I know it's going to be a great blessing for you, so relax, listen intently, and you'll receive a great blessing.
Amen. Now, I want you to just take your Bibles, have turned to Numbers chapter 19, and we'll try to preach part of this or maybe all of this, I don't know. But I want to deal with two things. First of all, let's look at the sacrifice. The Bible said it here in verse 2, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord has commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, that upon which never came a yoke. Did you know that red heifer is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, I wonder why God said a red heifer. Why did he say a red bull? Because, you see, that red heifer is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is to be a substitute for the bride, which is a woman. Amen? And I think I brought out that, how that is a sheep before her shearers were dumb, that how that Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, that was the price of a woman, according to Leviticus chapter number 27. Aren't you glad that in this scripture, that this red heifer is a picture of someone that was a substitute for those that are to be a part of the church of Christ? Salvation is not in works. Amen to that. Salvation is by grace through faith. That's salvation. That's through the meritorious work of somebody that took my place. You stood at the door of heaven today and God said, what right should you enter in? All you could say is, I came through the blood. I came in the name of Jesus. I came because he took my place. Amen. Hey, our sin debt has forever been settled by the blood of the Lamb. Now, we're not without spot, without blemish. But the Bible said here in verse number 2 that this red heifer had to be without spot, had without blemish. That means that there were two black hairs on that heifer. She was disqualified. That means that they found two white hairs on that red heifer. She would be disqualified. That red hair and that black hair and that white hair talks about one sin or two sins in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad the Bible says that we're not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. Jesus was the sinless Son of God. Hey, listen, 33 years he stayed on the earth. He could have done the work in a week. Why did God let him stay 33 years? Number one, a priest had to be 30 years old before he could enter the priesthood. He fulfilled the law. But he lived here for 33 years so people could examine him when he was a child, examine him as a teenager, examine him as a young man. Had then come up, had to kick him to the cross. But Pilate said, I find no fault with him. He was the red heifer. He was the one that was without spot and without blemish. Oh, you know what that tells me? Christ said, precious blood. That tells me that Jesus was unique. That Jesus was unraveled. That Jesus was extraordinary. That tells me about the Lord Jesus Christ that he had matchless virtue. That tells me he had a glorious pedigree. Amen. He had a father that's called the Holy Father. He had a mother that's called the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Amen. That made him the Holy One of Israel. He had a glorious pedigree. That the Bible said he was without spot. That means he didn't have any original sin. That means he weren't born in sin like you and I were, but he was without spot. That he was born without human defilement. That he was conceived immaculately through the Holy Ghost. But Jesus was birthed in the womb of Mary. No original sin. And the Bible said he had no blemish. He was without blemish. That means he had no actual sin. Not only was he not have any original sin, but he never did sin. Bible said his kids at all points like we were, yet without sin. Amen. Oh, you say, preacher, why you get excited about that? That's because if I've got a perfect salvation, then I've got to have a perfect substitute, and he is. He is a perfect substitute. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. He took my place. That's the only way that you're saved. And so this heifer here was without spot or without blemish. Notice something else in verse number 2. Upon which never came a yoke. In fact, if you'll read that, they didn't even lay a cloth on the back of the red heifer. You see, a yoke was to be hooked to a plow that would plow up the cursed ground. But the Bible says there was never a yoke put on that red heifer. And I want to tell you something, the Lord Jesus Christ never sinned. In fact, he didn't even come in contact with sin. In fact, he was immaculate. Her sin never bound him. Her sin never tired him. Her sin never labored him. The Bible said he didn't have a yoke upon him. Now, that yoke, he said, there was never a yoke upon the red heifer. Said the Lord Jesus Christ became our substitute. How? He became our substitute willingly. They didn't have to put a yoke on him to make him die on the cross. They didn't have to make a yoke on him to lay down the royal robes of glory and walk down a scarlet stairway to be born of a virgin. They never made. But you know what he said? I came to do thy will. I want to tell you something. It's a voluntary effort on the part of the Lord Jesus Christ to become our substitute that we never, never know of the regions of the damned. Amen? And he was not dragged to death. They didn't put a yoke on him to make you go to Calvary. They didn't put a yoke on him to nail him to the cross. Jesus said, no man takes my life from me. He said, I lay it down. What does that mean? No yoke upon me. Nobody made me do it. But voluntarily, he gave his life as a substitute. But you know what? When the priest went to the Day of Atonement, he took a bull that he bought. When the people went to the Day of Atonement, they bought a lamb, a turtle dove, or a pigeon, individually. But when the red heifer was slain, the whole nation paid for it. The whole nation paid for it. And so that everybody might say, when they saw that red heifer being slain, I have a share in him. Well, I'm glad today that I have a share in what he did at Calvary. I'm glad nobody is left out. Aren't you glad of that? I'm glad nobody has left out. But our sins nailed him to the cross, and he went there to die for the sins of everyone. Oh, I don't care who you are. You may be a drunk. You may be a prostitute. You may be a drug addict. You may be a gambler. You may be a Christian. But I want to tell you something, that you have a share in what the blood did for the whole world that he died on the cross. Hallelujah! Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you because your sins had a part of him dying at the cross. The red heifer was bought by the whole nation of Israel. And our sins, the sins of the whole world, bought his sacrifice at Calvary. Now notice in verse number 3. In verse number 2 we see the sacrifice. In verse number 3 it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. That you shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. Now the heifer was brought without the camp. When they slew the bull, when they slew the lamb, when they slew the pigeon, when they slew the goat, they took it into the tabernacle. They put it upon the brazen altar. But when they took the red heifer, they took her outside the camp. They took her outside the city of Jerusalem, and there they slew her. You know why they took the heifer outside the city? That's because when you took something outside the city, that was declared unholy. That was declared unholy. When you took the bull, the lamb, the goat, the turtle dove in, you were declaring it to be holy, taking the place of the unholy. But here is a red heifer that is taken outside the city, that are declared unholy and unclean. Why? Because the red heifer that's going outside the camp to be the substitute of somebody that is unclean. The red heifer had to be dealt with something as somebody that was vile and unclean. But at the same time, it was accepted by God as spotless and blameless. That became unclean in the eyes of men, that it could become clean in the eyes of God. That red heifer was declared to be unclean and clean at the same time. How in the world can you do that? How can something be black and white at the same time? How can something be light and darkness at the same time? How can somebody be dirty? How can something be dirty and clean at the same time? Only God could do that. I tell you what, you know what? Only the Lord could have created the doctrine of salvation. Listen, I want to tell you something. Listen, you don't know how good it is for you to be here. Hey, so I say, you don't know how good it is for you to be here. And I say it again, you don't know how good it is for you to be here. Don't you could be in some religion that teaches that you have to live by good works, that you have to do certain things to be saved. But I want to tell you something, you know, God created a salvation that says you don't have to do anything, but somebody else did it for you, that all you have to do is believe it. Well, I'm glad I saw that truth one day. Well, I'm glad I saw that truth that he that knew no sin, the clean one, became unclean. That the unclean one, that could become clean. That Jesus took my place. He is my substitute. God put the judgment of sin upon him. God put the justification of the Savior upon me. Hallelujah. He took my place. God sees me like him. God sees him like me. Amen. You say, preacher, what does that do? Makes you pillow your head on your bed at night and sing this well with my soul. Well, I'm glad I don't have to do anything tomorrow. I'm glad I don't have to do anything next year to merit his salvation. But he did everything to fulfill the law and took my place and let the judgment of sin get on him, that the justification of the Savior might be upon me. Hallelujah for a salvation. For a salvation like that. Bible said he was treated as the vilest. He was crucified outside the gates of Jerusalem between two wicked thieves. Everybody looked upon him as sorry as the thieves were. He took the company with thieves. Bible said in Isaiah 53:3, he was despised and rejected of all men. In other words, when they took him outside that city and hung him on that cross, men despised him and rejected him. He was treated as an unclean person. But the Bible said in that same Isaiah 53, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. God said he was unclean in the eyes of men, but he was clean in the eyes of God. And he said, I know why he's going out there. He's going out there as an unclean. He's going out there as a clean to become unclean. That the unclean to become clean. Boy, if that ever breaks into your heart as a lost person, you'll run down here and say, thanks to Calvary. I'm not the man I used to be. I'm not for what I've done or do and will ever do, but because of what he did for me. Hey, I can look back to a time, August the 17th, 1967, where I took the place of Jesus and he took the place of me, and I've never been the same since. Amen. I'm not holding out and holding on and doing the best I can. I'm resting in the finished work of the Savior that took my place as my red heifer outside the gate. Amen. Now, I was reading, studying that the man that killed the red heifer, no matter who he was, that he was made unclean just by touching the red heifer, just by taking her outside the city. But he that was made unclean could be made clean by the very red heifer that he killed. Had the Romans took Jesus outside the gates of Jerusalem, had they killed the Lord Jesus Christ, but the same Lord Jesus Christ that they nailed on the cross could cleanse them from their own sin. That old soldier looked into the face of Jesus and he said, I brought him out here. I had made him carry that cross. We laid the cross on the ground, nailed the nails in his hands and his feet and placed a crown upon his head. He said, I come out here and I was unclean. They said, as I saw him there and watched him say those seven things from the cross, the Bible said he looked up. Had this unclean soldier become clean because he said, surely this is the Son of God. Amen. How many of us came into the church one day unclean? But we saw the Lamb of God hang on that old rugged cross as our substitute. That God took the one that was unclean by nailing him to the cross. That took that very cross and that very blood that made him clean by the blood of the Lamb. I hate to tell the old sinner that the one that takes away your sins, that first makes you feel your sins. The one that takes away your tears will first make you to weep over your tears. And the one that makes you cleaner will make you dirty. But the reason he makes you dirty, the reason he makes you weep over your sins, the reason he makes you feel your sins is that he can undo everything that sin has ever done to you. I don't know what you did, but the day you got saved, God undone everything that sin had done for you. I don't know what you were, but when you got saved, thank God it's washed away. That's the race from the mind of God. That God undoes everything that sin ever did for us. Amen. I'm talking about a perfect salvation. And notice in verse 4. And Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger and sprinkle her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation seven times. He takes the blood and goes back down to the tabernacle. Don't go in. He doesn't go in. But he stands at the front of the tabernacle and sprinkles that blood seven times. Why is he sprinkling that blood? To testify about a complete salvation. About a salvation that doesn't have to be repeated. About a salvation that has put all of our sins before God. Now, the Bible said in Hebrews that by his eternal blood, he obtained eternal redemption for us. But when we sin, it defiles our consciences. If I could open up my sin. I want to say something. My body's dirty. If I could open up my soul and my mind is dirty. But if I could open up my body and my soul and you could see my spirit, it's just as clean today as it was 34 years ago, 9:30 on the right-hand side of the pulpit. But I want to say, after I got saved, I've committed sins in the body, and the sins I commit in the body makes me have a conscience that when I go before God, if I don't have those sins confessed in my conscience, I can't worship God, and I can't serve God. Amen. Now notice what the Bible says here. The Bible said in this verse of Scripture, Bible said in this verse of Scripture, then verse number 5, that they burned the red heifer. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight. Her skin and her flesh and her blood with her dung shall he burn. Now the Bible says here, every bit of the heifer had to be consumed. The skin had to be burned. The meat had to be burned. The bones had to be burned. The intestines had to be burned. And upon Calvary, Jesus gave it all. He didn't withhold a bit. He gave everything that he had. Every part and every power of his being was laid down and every bit of it was accepted by an almighty God. Sometimes they would skin the offering. Sometimes they would skin the bull or the lamb or the turtle dove. They would do it, typifying outward perfection. But the Lord Jesus Christ was not skinned. The red heifer was not skinned. Why? Jesus was not only perfect in his spirit, and Jesus was not only perfect in his mind, but the Lord Jesus Christ was perfect in his body. Amen. He was wholly perfect. And then the Bible says, they would take, verse 6, and the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Now notice the picture. Can you watch me for this little bit? They take the red heifer, put her upon this altar out there in the wilderness. They'd burn her. Then the Bible said they'd take a hyssop. They'd take cedar wood. And they'd take scarlet and they'd throw it into the fire that was burning the red heifer. Now, why was that? Well, a cedar is the largest tree in Israel. And a hyssop is the smallest tree. And scarlet wool was the bloodiest, vilest wool You know what that tells me? That tells me who got saved. That you know that God can save the greatest sinner. That God can save the smallest sinner. That God can save the vilest sinner. That all of them are accepted through His death on the cross. But it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. It doesn't matter what you said or how you acted. I'm glad, thank God, He doesn't take into consideration what you've done. Hey, can I say something? He doesn't take into consideration what you've done, but He takes into consideration of what He's done.
Well, this is about all the time we have left. I'd like you to just stay for a moment, and we're going to offer you some free booklets that can show you from the Word of God how you can know Jesus Christ, whether or not He is the Messiah, the Savior. Our Lord prophesied there in the Old Testament, or commonly known among the Jewish people as the Tanakh, how that He did indeed fulfill over 100 prophecies pertaining to the Messiah's first coming. And you can get that free of charge. So just stay with us for a few moments longer. We want to thank you for being with us here at the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, listening, and trust it's been a blessing to you about this message, the Red Heifer.
Covenant and show His mercy unto Thy servants that walk before Thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like Thee in the heavens.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent. That is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God. With sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by His own blood, and call upon Him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to His Word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or P-O-W-D-E-R-S-P-R-I-N-G-S, Georgia, or G-A, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. My earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.